worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you. So come, let justice roll on like a river. Let worship turn into revival. Lord, lead us back to you.
There's a table that you've prepared for me in the presence of my enemies. It's your body, your blood you shed for me, 'cause this is how I fight my battles. There's a table that you've prepared.
Time.
driven by kings. You cover the mountains and valleys below with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hands. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend.
Try. control. But when you don't have control,
It's easy to give it to someone else. And right now, I'm just asking you to give God control in your life and just submit to Him and know that even though we're in the midst of a struggle, that there's a Creator that loves us, that has a plan for us, that can be victorious in our lives, that can be victorious in this world. So let's sing that one more time. And I just want you to sing it. And when you say it, I want you to believe it. That there's not a place that you would rather be right now. There's not a place that would be better for you to be right now.
Come before you, God, giving you thanks that there's no place that we'd rather be than here in your love, wrapped in peace, wrapped in the joy of the Holy Spirit, wrapped in your grace, because God, we know we don't deserve it, but you give it freely. And Lord, we thank you for that today. We thank you, God, that you can start a fire down in our souls. Even in the midst of the most challenging time that most of us have ever faced, we thank you, God, that you can still start a fire in our hearts. Father, I pray for every person watching today. God, we started out today with a tribute to those who are serving on the front lines, those medical workers, those people that whether they want to or not, they've got a robe up, mask up, glove up. suit up and go serve. But God, there's also people on the back lines. We're all fighting together. There are many people, God, who are doing many things to make life as much as normal as possible. Just like this service right now. Facebook is filled with the gospel of the kingdom. YouTube is filled with the gospel of the kingdom. And there are people who are running equipment, playing instruments, singing songs, making sure we're crossing the T's and dotting the I's so that we can bring the presentation of the gospel to the earth. And so today we thank you for the front lines, but we thank you, God, for the back lines. We thank you, God, for every person that serves and makes it possible. Thank you for those who give and still support the church, still pay their tithes, still give the offerings, still sow a seed into someone else's ministry so that we can do what you've called us to do, so that the fire of God will still burn in the souls of men. Lord, there is no place we'd rather be than here in your love. Thank you today that we can share your love today in Jesus' strong name. I pray for that person who's watching right now. Maybe they've wandered away from you. May today be the day of salvation for them. May today be the day of renewal for them. Could you guys just sing that one more time, just softly? No place I'd rather be. Come on, if you're listening today and you feel the Holy Spirit drawing you back, just comment right there in the comment section. I'm coming back to Christ. No place I'd rather be. No place I'd rather be. Thank you, worship team, for leading us in the presence of God. I greet you in Jesus' name. I want to say welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. I'm Pastor Wallace, lead pastor here at the church in Hosky, North Carolina. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I want to speak a message to you from the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. The verses are 1-6, just 6 simple verses. And I just want to drop a thought in your heart today. Too close for comfort. Too close for comfort. We've prayed. We've asked the Lord's blessings. I'm just going to jump right in here and let's read together. To the angel of the church in Sardis, write. These are the words of him who holds the 7 spirits of God. Listen closely to the words of what we're reading here. These are the words of him who holds the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. What's a star? You ever told your pastor? Hey, pastor, you're a star. He's talking about the leaders of the church. He's talking about the messengers of the church. In this specific one, he's talking about the pastor, the messenger of the church at Sardis. He said, you're the one, Lord, who holds the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you are dead. Verse 2, he says, wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished in the sight of my God. Verse 3, remember therefore, what you have received and what you have heard, hold it fast. And here he calls for something that the church needs to hear today, the church globally. Here he calls for repentance. He says, but if you don't wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what time I will come to you. Verse 4, he kind of shifts in the indictment here. He says, yet you have a few people in Sardis who haven't soiled their clothes. They will walk with me, and they'll be dressed in white, for they are worthy. The one who's victorious will, like them, be dressed in white, and I will never blot out the name of that person from the book of life, but will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. Verse number 6, he concludes his message to the church at Sardis by saying this: whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Man, my mind has been consumed, as yours has, with the thoughts of where we are right now, this plague, if you will. My mind is on it a lot of times during the day. My mind, I'm awakened at night and I begin to pray momentarily. It just comes to me, hey, what about this thing we're dealing with? What about the uncertainties? What about the aggravations? What about the invasion of our life, of what we've known as normal is now not normal? And I found myself consistently thinking, just like you, about these events that are taking place. Think about it. Every hour of the news, every headline of the paper, every breaking post on social media, it's all about this plague on the world, this COVID-19, this coronavirus. It's called a pandemic. And I began to think about, you know, when we first started hearing, I began to think about this word pandemic. And so, of course, being the pastor that I am, and I like to dig out the truth. And so I thought, well, what is a pandemic? Where does this word come from? And I began to look it up. And this word pandemic, it originated in the Latin. And it simply, if you divide the word up, pan means all. It means all. And then the other part of the word comes from a word, demos, which means people. So what does that mean? It's all people. This is something that affects who? Everyone. Everyone. And it drains society. And it strips you of your normal. And it invades your plans. And it invades your aspirations and your anticipations. And it's worldwide. It's not a North Carolina thing. It's not a U.S. thing. It's not, you know, a Far Eastern thing. Guess what? It's a global thing. In fact, I did some searching and I discovered something that I didn't know, that there's 195 countries. I knew there were a lot of countries, but I didn't know there were 195. And then I asked myself the question, well, if there are 195 countries, how many countries are dealing with COVID-19? And the answer to that today, as of today, 185 countries, only 10 countries in the world that are yet to report an outbreak or an infection of the coronavirus in their nation. It seems that we would have had enough calamity, enough confusion in the world that would have brought on what I truly believe is the only answer, and that is repentance and restoration. I've heard that verse and I've heard it in my spirit over and over and over again. I mentioned it in my Wednesday study. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. What is God really looking for? If my people. He's not talking to the people of the world. He's not talking about the ungodly, those who haven't come to him. But he says, if my people, the people of God, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and they would pray and they would seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. And you want to get a little bit sensitive here and say, wait, I'm not living a wicked life. He's not just talking about you. He's talking about the whole. He said, we need to turn from our wicked ways. He said, if you do that, then what? God's a conditional God sometimes. He said, if you would do that, then I would hear you from heaven. I would forgive your sin and I would bring healing to your land. We have our quota of trials. I was thinking today, just in my mind, just the last few years, August 2017 in Texas, I remember the story breaking, specifically Houston, and the Gulf Coast was ravaged by the storm surges of a hurricane that they called Harvey. The storm cost the United States over $200 billion. I saw pictures and footage, and I looked, when I was researching this, I looked, and I saw cars that were completely submerged underwater. 1 million automobiles were completely submerged in water during that hurricane. 1 million. How much does a car cost? 20 grand, 30 grand, 40 grand? Well, if you want a really nice one, more than that. 1 million automobiles. And then not too many days after that, took place Then a hurricane hit Florida. 2017 was a rough year. Hurricane Irma. They go from man to woman, male to female. They named this one Irma. And the entire state was affected in some way or another, in a state that produces what you drink for breakfast many times, orange juice, because they produce more oranges than any other in our nation, any other state in our nation. And in that year, 2017, Florida recorded the smallest harvest, the smallest production of oranges in over 75 years. California, 2019, let's go there. The wildfires resulted in, one article said, 7,000 fires that broke out. Seven, can you imagine just a moment? 7,000 fires burning more than 250,000, a quarter of a million acres, and destroying over 750 structures or buildings, resulting in the loss of many lives. Many people died because there was just nowhere to go. You've seen pictures. You've seen footage. You live on the East Coast. You were watching this calamity on the West Coast. And then maybe scale it down to some other type of calamity. It was on a beautiful evening in the fall of 2017, same year, where a demonized 64-year-old gunman goes to a country music show high up on the 30-something floor and guns down 58 people that he killed. And over 480 others were wounded, some seriously. Just wanting to go out for an evening of country music. Bought their tickets online, planned to go, took the girlfriend, took the guys, took the friends, took the family, just for an evening out for country music. And it ended up in such a traumatic crisis. And if you want to get up close and personal, we're talking about struggles and trials. I said we had our quota. If you want to get up close and personal, just watch the news every night in your home and listen to the stories of the shootings and the stabbings and the drug overdoses and the like right here in your own neck of the woods. Every night, without question, you can tune in to your local news and the lights are flashing and the whistles are blowing and the yellow crime tape is being circled around that particular area. Why? Because another life has been taken. We're clearly living in an hour where sin abounds. And the enemy runs rampant in the lives of those who obey not the gospel of God. And our nation is hurt severely by natural disasters that, guess what, God allows. And when you study the Bible, I've looked at this in the Old Covenant. I've looked at this. And when you study the Bible, when God wanted to get the attention, come on, of his people, many times, you know what he would do? He would touch the land first. In the book of Joel, it was a locust plague. And then afterward, he would pour out of his spirit. I find myself already praying for the church, praying for the body of Christ, praying for myself, praying for my family, praying for people in ministry. God, what kind of people will we be on the other side of COVID-19? What kind of leadership will I give? What kind of father will I be? What kind of husband will I be? What kind of Christian will I be on the other side of this plague? Our nation is hurt, but our nation needs to repent. Meanwhile, guess what happens? TikTok. TikTok, TikTok, the prophetic clock of God, not like your time, not like my time, but the prophetic clock of Almighty God is ticking away and ticking and ticking and ticking toward the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is coming back. Can you say amen? He's coming back. Then will be the most difficult of times when Christ comes. When he comes, he doesn't come all the way back to earth. He comes down in the clouds and he raptures the church away and he takes the church from the earth. Then will begin the most difficult of all times, the times of Jacob's trouble. The earth will be filled with tribulation. Without the presence of Christ, without the presence of the body of Christ, the church on the earth, those people whose lives are governed by God. This time is known as the Great Tribulation. People have been asking. I've heard people ask, Pastor, what do you think? Are we in it? Are we getting to the edge of it? All I can tell you is this, according to the Bible, I know it hasn't taken place yet. Why? Because we're still here. But I know we're in the birth pains of Matthew 24. I know we're in the birth pains. I know we're looking at the beginning of the very end. We're in Luke 21. We're looking at the characteristics of what Jesus said it would look like. We're just too close to the return of Christ to become so comfortable with life and living that we forget, here we go, that you and I are called to be the salt and the light of the earth. We're called to bring the gospel. You say, well, that's the pastor's job. No, that's your job. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists to prepare God's people to serve in ministry. All of us are called. All of us are called today to ministry. And so somebody ought to comment down there. Too close for comfort. We're too close to the coming of the Lord to be comfortable and forget what our mission is as a human being who've been changed by the power of the gospel. We're called to be salt and to be light. I was drawn to this Revelation passage, and I want to just take an expository walk with you for just a few more minutes through these six verses this morning and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Look at verse number one. To the angel of the church in Sardis write, these are the words of him who holds the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. Have you ever thought about your own life and how maybe perhaps someone said something very flattering to you in the spiritual sense? Like, oh, you're such a godly man, or man, I just respect you because of the way you lead your family. And all the while you may be thinking, wow, I'm so glad they don't know the truth. I'm so glad they didn't see me lose my cool. I'm so glad they didn't hear me respond to the lady who shorted me $20 at Walmart. I'm so glad they didn't see the real me. But here's the reality. God says to this church, I know you. I know you. I know your deeds. You know what that word know means in the original language? It means you're naked before God. There's no secrets. There's nothing hidden. God says, I know you. I know everything about you. He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. John's writing because he's been captured. John, the beloved, he's been captured, and he's been carted off to some small rocky island. No vegetation. It's called Patmos. He's been carted off there. Why? Because of his witness. Because of his testimony of Christ. And he's on that island of Patmos, this rocky, barren island. And tradition says, I never will forget, one time I jumped on an airplane, and in the airport between flights, I went and I found a book that I'd always wanted to read. It was called Fox's Book of Martyrs, Those Who Died for Their Faith. And while I was on the next flight, I read thoroughly that book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. Tradition tells us that John the Apostle was boiled in oil. How many of you like your French fries fried? Come on. How many like your taters fried? You drop them in oil that's what? 212 degrees. Tradition tells us, Fox's Book of Martyrs tells us that John the Apostle was tarred and feathered, boiled in a pot of oil and survived it. He survived it. And he's on this island. Because of his witness, because of his testimony, he survived. And while he's on this island, God pulls the curtain back. That's what we call revelation. What does it mean? A revealing. Pulling the curtain back, letting John the Apostle see into the future. He writes it down in Revelation that we have in our Bibles today. He says, I'm going to show you the things which are. That's the message to the churches. And I'm going to show you the things which are to come. That's the events that will unfold in the life of the church. And even after the church is removed. And so he's instructed by Christ to write to these seven literal churches. Churches just like yours and churches just like mine. Churches just like everyone attends who's listening today. A literal church. And here he addresses this church in Sardis. These churches were established as Saul and Barnabas had hands laid on them. In Acts chapter 13, they sent Saul and Barnabas out on the mission, if you will. The first missionaries as missions is incepted here, and it starts, and Saul and Barnabas go out blazing the trail, preaching the gospel, establishing churches, appointing leaders, and literal churches are addressed. Sardis is one of them. Here John says, hey, pastor, hey, angel, hey, messenger, hey, star, I want to speak to you about what's going on in your church. He tells the pastor that the words that he's sharing are not his words, John says. But he says, I'm giving you the words of the one who holds you, the church, the pastor, the one who holds you in his hand. Can I just tell you right now that even though we're going through a challenging time right now, God has the church in his hands. Even though you're going through a challenging time as a believer right now, God has the Christian in his hands. Angels are watching over you. Why? Because the Bible says angels encamp around about those who love and fear the Lord. And God is watching over the church at Sardis here. He's the one who is in control of everything. Paul told the Colossian believers in chapter 2, verse number 9, he says, all the fullness of the Godhead dwells in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus possesses the seven spirits of God that Isaiah prophesied in his writing of Isaiah 11, verses 2 to 5. He says, he's the Spirit of the Lord, talking about Christ here. He's the Spirit of the Lord. He's the Spirit of wisdom. He's the Spirit of understanding. He's the Spirit of counsel. He's the Spirit of might. He's the Spirit of knowledge. He's the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. Christ is described in a sevenfold manner. Why? Because seven is a number of what? Completion. So here, Christ is complete. And he possesses all of these characteristics that are needed for him and for us. And he tells the pastor that it's Christ who holds the pastors, holds the stars, the leaders of the church in his hand. He's in control. Even when we think he's not, he is. He's got the whole world in his hands. And he has the church, the lampstand, the candlestick. He has those in his hands. And John saw earlier in Revelation that the Lord was doing what? He was walking among his churches. Can I tell you today that he's still walking among his churches? He's still walking among his churches. He's still leading his church. He's still guiding his church. Why? Because there's no place we'd rather be than in his love. And in his love, there's protection. And in his love, there's peace. And in his love, there's security. It doesn't matter what the news says. It doesn't matter what the world says. God is watching over his people, and he's in control. He reveals this in verse 1. He says, listen, I know your deeds. Look at verse 1. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. What is he saying here? Quite practically, he's saying this. You got a sign in the yard of your property that says you're a church. You're a living organism, aflame with the power of the Spirit of God, but you're not. You have a reputation just because they say you're a church doesn't mean that God's presence is there, doesn't mean that God's Spirit is there, doesn't mean that God's power is manifested in those services. You're a church. You got a sign in your yard, but it says to some people there's no life there. You're dead. And in the case of the Sardis church, God says, listen, you have the sign in the yard, but you're not what you say you are. You're not alive. You're dead. They were dead in trespasses and sins. This whole area of Sardis was the capital of a place called Lydia. And they were surrounded by the grossest forms of immorality and idolatry, sexual immorality and depravity, having public festivals where they would openly display their immoral behavior. Sound like a nation you're familiar with? This had infiltrated the church and their reputation had been marred. And so the Lord of the church is calling for something specific. Look at verse 2. Verse 2, he says, wake up, strengthen what remains and is near death. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have found your deeds unfinished. You're not where you need to be. You haven't accomplished what I really ordained that you accomplish. You're not where you ought to be. And there's hope. Wake up. Strengthen what remains and is about to die. In other words, the church wasn't fulfilling their divine purpose. Instead of influencing the society and the culture around them, they were corrupted by the society and the culture around them. There must have been some who had tremendous spiritual potential because the Lord of the church says, John, tell them, wake up. And he continues this call and he looks at verse number 3. He says, remember now, therefore, what you have received and heard, hold it fast and repent. But if you don't wake up, I'll come like a thief, and you'll not know at what time I will come to you. John calls for repentance, and John calls for readiness on their part. This is an indictment of their spiritual position, because he says his return would come upon them like a thief. I have a friend of mine that I talk to frequently, and I've done ministry things together with him, and I thought, you know, he's really strong in the prophetic, and let me just call him and ask him what his thoughts are on COVID-19 and how he feels about it. And when I called him up, I said, hey, let me ask you a question. Were you anticipating this? He said, Wallace, let me tell you something. He said, this thing caught me like a T-bone at an intersection. He said, I was so shocked, so surprised to see that we are where we are right now. I mean, you know, when you first heard people talking about it, it was just kind of talk, wasn't it? But now, today, even this week, I look back and I went into one business locally here in Ahoskie, and I was stopped at the door. I was stopped at the door. I'll not call the name of the business. That's not what we're talking about. But I was stopped at the door, and I said, can I get? And I went to go for a specific item. He said, no, you can't come in. He said, you tell me what you want, and I'll go get it for you, and then I'll take your card and swipe it, and I'll put it in the bag for you. And I looked at the store, and it was completely empty. No one allowed. He said, this is how we're doing it as of this week. No one can come in. If you need something, I'll bring it to you and charge your card. I thought, man, this is different. A little bit of a feeling rose up inside of me, and then I just calmed right down. I thought, no, there's nothing I can do about it. This is a decision that has been made. Did you ever think we would be where we are right now? My wife and I went to a grocery store just this past week, and we were told, you can't come in this door. You got to go in the other door. So we go all the way to the other end of the store, and we go in the door, and they walked us through there like cattle so much that I just was walking along, and I thought, I'll make the best of it. And so I said, I just went, moo, because I felt like a cow being corralled, telling me, there's only so many can be here at a certain time, and they were counting people. Pastor Josh said, sometimes, you know, you're just not in control, but you just know that God is. Amen? He is in control. Remember, Jesus said in this verse that he would come like a thief, but evidently there's a remnant of faithful few. Look at verse number 4. Yet you have a few people in Sardis who have not, look at what he says here, they've not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white, for they're worthy. He makes this reference to what Sardis is known for. Sardis, you know, you have places, even in North Carolina, we have the High Points and the Thomasvilles and places like that, you know. They're known for textiles. Sardis was known for dyeing cloth. Dyeing cloth a different color. And this city was known for manufacturing and dyeing the cloth. And he uses this as an analogy. He says, there are some of you who haven't soiled your clothes. You're clothed in righteousness. Verse number 5, the one who's victorious will, like them, those that are clothed in righteousness, they'll be dressed in white. I will never, look at this assurance here, I will never, because of the righteousness of Christ in your life, I'll never blot out that name of the person from the book of life. But I will acknowledge that name before my Father and his angels. John tells them that there's an eternal reward for those who get it right, for those who wake up, come on, for the ones who repent, for the ones who, in verse 6, for the ones who have an ear and they hear, come on, what the Spirit is saying to the church. Worship team, would you join me here? As we come to a close, the culture and the society today offers much that is contrary to the Word of God. We offer much in our society that is contrary to the Word of God. But to all of those who hear the Lord's call upon your life, to repent of your unrighteousness, to repent of your sin, and come to him. Listen, too close for comfort. Too close for comfort. We're too close to the coming of the Lord to be living our lives halfway for the Lord. living Monday through Friday like we want to live, and then kind of getting it right and putting our suit on and our smell good and dressing up to go to church because it's Sunday. No, God's looking for a walk in Christ that is Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. He's looking for our walk to be a walk with Christ every day of our life. The happenings of today, the increase in the natural disasters like I spoke about earlier, the fires and the storms, the hurricanes, and then this the epitome of it all, a pandemic that is literally worldwide, is that God has allowed this to come upon the world. And the presence of evil and all of the demonic influence should remind us that the end is near. And there's no place that we should rather be than wrapped in His love. If you're here today, if you're listening to me today, and you feel the Holy Spirit right now drawing you to that place, because you know, listen, it's too close for comfort. It's too close for you to just be satisfied that your name is on a roster somewhere. You joined a church, or you dropped a few bucks in the plate now and then. Or you went on Easter and Christmas. You at least went when your kids were in the play. You know what? God's looking for more than that. God's looking for relationship where our lives, where we don't allow our lives to be soiled by the sins of this world. Let the message to the church at Sardis encourage you that God's calling you to a better place. Maybe the discomforts of this lockdown and the aggravations that accompany it, maybe it should be a call for you and I to examine our hearts, a call for repentance. Maybe today, for you who are listening, is literally a wake-up call, like John said to the church at Sardis, wake up, strengthen what's there, don't let it die. Why don't you strengthen what you have? Listen, let them sing it one more time. I'm going to come back and pray with you. Listen to the words.
There's no place I'd rather be. There's no place I'd rather be.
On a normal day, there'd be people at this altar just coming in by the scores. They'd be standing all across this altar. You know what I want you to do? I want you right where you are in your home. Just stand up. Stand up right where you are. And just move. You know, some of you are watching it on a TV close over the fireplace on the wall. Just stand up and just move in close. You know, no place I'd rather be than here in your love. Here in your love. Step closer to his love this morning. You feel the Holy Spirit calling you to a place of repentance and restoration. Just pray this prayer. Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you today and I ask you to forgive me. Lord, I've soiled my clothes. I've walked in a manner not pleasing to you. My garments are stained. And I ask you, Lord, for your precious blood to wash away every stain. What you did on the cross, you shed your blood for me. You died for me. You were buried for me. You rose again for me so that I might have brand new life. Today I receive you. Today I come back to you. And I ask you, God, to keep me in your love. Lord, there's no place I'd rather be. Set a fire in my soul. Set a fire in my soul. Let me release the control I've had on my life and give it to you. Because, Lord, that's the place I'd rather be. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, just comment below. You stay with us on the broadcast. You can see at the end how you can support the ministry, support your church. Just stay with us till the end. They're going to sing it now. Start a fire down in my soul. Why don't you allow the Lord to start that fire for you today? God bless you. We love you. Carpenter Shop International Church.